Well, as basketball phenom Caitlin Clark starts her rookie season in the WNBA, she'll be making about $76,000 a year. Did you hear me? $76,000 a year. Not the millions you see NBA players getting when they are young rookies. Now, of course, Caitlin Clark is coming into the league with all kinds of endorsement deals that she's got from her amazing college playing career.
All right, joining us live to talk more about this, USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan, who's also a contributor to ABC News, CNN, and the PBS NewsHour. Great to have you back once again, Christine. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Same topic, another day, right?
Yeah, but boy, it's fascinating, is it? And it's interesting that a lot of folks are just coming to the realization that these women who are going into the WNBA as top draft choices are not making the big money that guys in the NBA make or NFL rookies make. Tell us how maybe things might change in the future. How does Caitlin Clark fit into all this?
Oh, absolutely, Sean, and great to be with you. You know, it's going to change. And Caitlin Clark is, everything she touches changes and changes for the better. So the next network deal for the WNBA, the TV rights deal, is coming up. And so there'll be negotiations, and the timing will be perfect because of the TV ratings and, you know, yesterday 17,000 people in Indiana for the watch party. I mean, the jersey sales sold out. This is perfect timing. But the fact is that the WNBA salaries are woefully low. It's the reason that Brittany Griner was in Russia. If they were making a ton of money, if they were making millions like the NBA players, then Brittany Griner wouldn't have been in Russia, wouldn't have been arrested. So, and of course, these players, many of them go overseas, not just Russia, but Spain and Asia, Turkey, everywhere to supplement their income and make more money there than the U.S. Pays them in the WNBA. So, for example, Brittany Griner was making $240,000 and then with bonuses, probably about $400,000. Steph Curry, $50 million. That's the difference. That's the history, which, as I said, I think is about to change.
Christine, though, is it going to be enough? Because don't they need the TV network money to actually increase their sales along with the ticket sales? So if the excitement's out there and we're ready to watch Caitlin, we're ready to energize the WNBA, how long does it take to kind of match those salaries or even get them close?
Well, and you're right. It's going to take a little time. It's not happening tomorrow, in spite of the incredible influx and wildly, you know, popular player that Caitlin Clark is. But this new contract will reflect some of it. It's not going to be NBA numbers. But we're also talking about something here that a word we all know: capitalism. Title IX deals with high school and college. So I've had people today saying, "Well, what about Title IX?" Of course, the law that opened the floodgates for girls and women to play sports and mandates proportionality, if not equality. That's high school and college. That's not the pros. This is about capitalism. And for every single person listening to us right now who's saying, "Oh, that's terrible, Caitlin Clark's $76,000 salary," and again, she's making millions with endorsements, as you said. People are saying, "Well, that's wrong. That's terrible." Have they bought tickets to a WNBA game? Have they watched a WNBA game? Have they bought the products that are being sponsored on the commercials? Have they bought a jersey? Most of America hasn't done any of that. Again, it's going to change, but the reason that this is happening is because Americans have spoken with their pocketbook for years that they didn't want to support the WNBA, which of course is much, much more recently developed as a league than the NBA. So that's the other factor. But this is about our country and what it wants. Again, it's going to change because we're seeing the results with Caitlin Clark now.
I'm going to go a little basketball geek on you here, Christine. I'm comparing this WNBA draft to the 1984 NBA draft. That was the draft with Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, John Stockton, Sam Perkins, and I am missing a fifth superstar there. Here we're talking a lot about Caitlin Clark, but then we have Cameron Brink out of Stanford. We have Angel Reese out of LSU. We have Cardozo out of South Carolina. This could be the equivalent of 1984 in the NBA for the WNBA.
Well, absolutely. And that's why I am very optimistic. Having the conversation about the money is great because everyone's now focused on how bad it is, right? And the same thing here. This is Caitlin Clark for sure. She is by far the one that everyone cares about. But these other athletes are great, and they've gotten so much attention because of Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese and Caitlin last year, right? So, Sean, you're absolutely right. This, I believe, will go down when we're looking at it 10, 15 years from now as that watershed moment, not just for basketball and the WNBA, for all of women's sports and team sports in particular. And you're right, it's much more than just Caitlin Clark, even though she is the driving force behind all of it. And she would be the first person to tell us that, because she is so self-effacing and all about the others as well. And it's going to be fun to watch the WNBA and, of course, the Mystics in about a month's time when they get going.
Christine, thanks as always. We could talk to you about this all day. We appreciate your time.